Lord, we want to thank you so much for this, again, for this glorious opportunity to be able to meet like this in this particular way. And we just want to pray that you would really help us as we look at your word. Thank you that you are that good shepherd who feeds us in good pasture. And we pray, dear Lord, that you would feed us through your word and speak to each one of us by your Holy Spirit, from the youngest to the oldest of us. Lord, we are all in need of you. And we want to pray for your help this afternoon as we look at your word. Amen. So, some verses in 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm going to read from verse 4. And there are 14 statements here about love, or if you've got the authorized version, it will say charity. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love is not boastful, is not conceited, does not act improperly, is not selfish, is not provoked, does not keep a record of wrongs, finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Now, probably for many of you, you will have heard those words many times, perhaps in the context of a wedding service, for example. There are two great commandments in the scripture that we find in the Old Testament and that the Lord Jesus repeated for us and underlined for us in the New Testament. The first one is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second commandment is like it, which is, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. I don't know about you, but there have been many books written, many talks given on these particular verses, considering the applications from those two commandments. How we are to love God. Our love for God is expressed in patience, kindness, not envying, not being boastful, etc. You may have heard talks or read books about our love for each other, our love for the neighbour, our love for our neighbour. Or in other scriptures in the New Testament, where it says we're to love one another as Christ loved us. Husbands, we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church. I mean, love is to be the characteristic of us as God's people. So you may have heard applications of that. We need to be patient towards each other. Husbands, being patient towards your wife, etc. Love is kind. Love does not envy. These 14 statements are supercharged with rich material for the essence and the character of true love. And I, at least on one occasion, I've heard a marvellous description of the character of God. He is love. He is kind. He is patient. And you can look at the life of the Lord Jesus and find every one of these 14 statements being fulfilled in his life. There is a message and a half in each of those applications that I've been giving to you. But I have never heard a sermon on these verses considering the end of that second commandment, which says you shall love your neighbour as yourself. And so I want to take a little bit of a risk. I certainly have never done this before. I want to consider what in these verses can help us to love ourselves. How are we to love ourselves? In what way are we to love ourselves? Friends, unless we know how to love ourselves, we won't be able to love our neighbour, because it says you shall love your neighbour as yourself. So what does this mean? Now, it's probably flagging up a whole load of questions. So, Alicia, could you please find for me Luke chapter 14 and verses 26 to 27? And the rest of you may like to look at it as well. Luke chapter 24 and verses 26 to 27. Would you mind coming out to read it for us, please? Thank you very much. Because we find here just a short passage from the Lord Jesus that we just need to balance what we're saying. Thank you very much. You can get cross with me afterwards for springing this upon you. I'll hold this.
Chapter 24.
No, 14. Luke chapter 14 and verses 26 to 27.
If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.
Thank you very much. So the Lord Jesus is saying there that one of the main requirements for discipleship is that we do two things, that we hate our own life. So, in what sense does the Lord mean that, and how does that match with loving ourselves? And the second thing that he says is that we have to take up our cross daily and follow him. Now, without going into the explanation of both those two things, basically what the Lord is saying, hating our own life means that we're willing to submit our lives to the will and the purpose of God. So that where what I want contradicts what the Lord wants must take preference. And in that sense, I have to hate my life. I have to put it secondary to what the Lord requires. And the second thing is that there needs to be a taking up of the cross on a regular basis. And this is to do with our sinful nature, putting to death that sinful nature, those sinful characteristics which mar our lives and which certainly displease God. And the Lord says, put them to death. Indeed, he also says that he's already put them to death. We just have to recognize that they are, that they have been put to death, and leave them in that place of death. So when the scripture says we're to love ourselves, please don't let that be an excuse for not submitting to the will of God and not dealing with sin. Those things need to be in place, of course. But the converse is also true. If I put to death my own sinful nature, that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm not to love myself in certain ways. So we'll come on to that in a minute. When the Bible talks about our sinful nature, it very often uses the word flesh. And we need to be absolutely clear that when the Bible talks about the flesh, it can mean the body which you are using to sit with as I'm speaking to you. Or it can mean our sinful nature. And you need to have a bit of, you just need to have it clear in your mind which application is being spoken of. It certainly does not mean that we're to hate our bodies, nor does it mean that we are to hate the way that God has made us. And down through history, there have been various misunderstandings along that kind of line. So, for example, you've probably seen films or you've heard about the practice in some quarters of the church, which is called penance, which is basically you punish yourself. I mean, off the top of my head, I can think of one scene in, is it Becket, where the king, having killed Becket, the Archbishop of Canterbury, is so filled with remorse that he gets various monks to whip him. And he's in agony because it's a punishment. He's hating his body. Friends, that's not what God was requiring of him. And that is not loving our bodies. So, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 29. Another volunteer, please. And you're all looking at me with a great deal of concern that I'm going to pick on you. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 29. James, thank you for the smile. Could you come out and read it for us, please? Verse 29 of Ephesians chapter 5.
Do I need the microphone?
But no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church.
Thank you very much indeed. So there, I know the context is one of marriage and of the Lord's love for the church, but the statement is a general one. Nobody has ever hated his own body. but nourishes it and cherishes it. And certainly those two things are involved in loving ourselves. So really, it may be a little bit superficial. I want to throw out one or two little pointers to get us thinking, in what sense are we to love ourselves from these verses? And there are 14 statements. I won't go through all 14. We may possibly get through the first six of them. We will just have to see. So the first one, love is patient, or your version may say love suffers long. And just to give you an example from this statement of the various other ways we can apply this, this is saying God, who is love, is patient towards us. And there are numerous scriptures. God is not wanting any to perish, but that all should come to repentance. So he is patient toward us. And many other scriptures likewise. We are to be patient with each other, of course. In fact, this word patient literally means long-tempered. We don't use that phrase often, do we? But we certainly use the phrase short-tempered, so this is the opposite of short-tempered. If you are a short-tempered person, you are not demonstrating love with other people. It's to be long-tempered, long-spirited, forbearing with one another, and it's usually translated as patient. So we're to be patient with each other. So how are we to be patient toward ourselves? James chapter 5 and verse 8 gives us something of a clue, I think. James chapter 5 and verse 8, and I will read this one. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, because the Lord's coming is near. Friends, we are to be patient with ourselves. I want to suggest that some of us, and maybe this kind of lockdown period that we've been going through, has brought, for some of us, we've been brought face to face with who we really are. Because we've not been able to get out of the house. We've not been able to see people. We've not been able to do things. And as valuable as all those things are, they can actually stop us facing ourselves. And this period of lockdown, when God has been hemming us in, it's as much as anything, I think, to open our eyes to who God is. Mustn't go down that route. But it's also to show us who we are. And we need to be patient with ourselves. And some of us are not very good at that. You may be very exasperated with how you react, with your lack of progress in the Christian life, perhaps, or your inability to master a certain skill. And out of that short-temperedness, you then think, oh, well, blow it, I'm just going to give up. Friends, don't do that. If you love yourself, you will be patient with yourself. Don't write yourself off. Just get up and move on. Love is patient. Brothers, it says, you must also be patient. I think the clue is in the next phrase in James 5, verse 8. It says, strengthen your hearts. It's got a number of different applications, but I do want to suggest to you that if you are impatient with yourself, your heart needs to be established. Your heart, that is your conscience, your spirit, your relationship to the Lord, your attitudes, your intellect, it covers everything. Your heart needs to be strengthened and established. And the only way that's going to happen is by you getting into the Word of God for yourself and allowing Him to write His Word upon your hearts. How goes your Bible reading and your Bible study? And how goes your cooperating with the Lord to let that which you read and consider actually impact upon your life? These things are very challenging. Be patient. Establish your hearts. Why? For the coming of the Lord draws near. And sure, it does draw near, doesn't it? We increasingly see evidence of that. So love is patient. We are to be, secondly, we are to be kind to ourselves. Well, I don't think I need to explain really much about this. The marvellous thing about the recording equipment is that it has a kind of a time thing. So I know how long I'm speaking for. In a hall, actually out in the sun, I have absolutely no idea how long this is going on for. So when it's 40 minutes or so, just wave or something. be kind. Love is kind, it says. Now, let's just think a little bit about it, okay? Let me explain to you what the word means. It actually means to be gentle to yourself. I wonder sometimes how gentle we are with each other, certainly, but with ourselves as well. But it can also mean to be useful, to do what is useful and what is profitable. Now, how much of what are we engaged in is actually doing us the slightest bit of good, is really what it's saying. If you waste your hours, and please, I'm not criticising any of us, because I'm prone to wasting my hours and doing perhaps different things from some of you, but if you are wasting your hours, you're not being kind to yourself. Love is kind. Do something that is useful. Yes, we need to, of course, we need to rest and we need to give the mind a break and concentrate on all sorts of other things, but do what is profitable. Isn't there a scripture in Philippians 4, chapter 4 and verse 8 that says, whatever is of certain things, think on these things. Why does he say that? Because these things are useful. These things are profitable to us. What about the stuff that we read or don't read? What about the programs we watch, the hours we spend doing, you know, on the screen or whatever? I'm not saying we should never watch the screen. Well, all I am saying is be kind to yourself. You know, give it, put a time limit to it. Love is disciplined as well. If you don't do those things, my dear friends, you are not being kind to yourself. You're not loving yourself, is my point. Please, I'm not just saying it to be a killjoy. I'm just saying you are not putting your own interests first. You're not doing yourself any favours. Love is kind. And then the third thing. In my version, it says, love does not envy. Or it may say, yes, love does not envy. this literally means love isn't zealous in a wrong sense. It's the same word. You can be zealous for what is good and what is right, but actually you can also be jealous. Same word, zealous, jealous. You can also be zealous in a wrong sense. And so really what this is saying is that we can have a fervency, a zeal, in a bad kind of a way. Now I want to suggest to you that ambitions, aims, goals for all of you, from the youngest to the oldest among us, are good. But if you start driving yourself, if you are so fervent and so zealous, to put it like this, you're going over the top. And you're not loving yourself. There's a point where you have to put a limit to your driving. And if you're the sort of person who's prone to driving yourself, can I suggest just put the brake on? Just put the brake on. Not all of these things may apply to each one of us. Just pick out from the Lord, as I'm speaking, what applies to you. Love does not envy. Now, those first three qualities I want to suggest to you are an encouragement. Okay? They are an encouragement. So, be patient to yourself, be kind to yourself, and don't drive yourself. The next three, 4 to 6, are more of a warning to us. And the first two may sound as if they're the same, but actually they're not. Number 4 says, love is not boastful. And that means don't boast or don't brag about yourself. Basically, don't draw attention to yourself or think too highly of yourself. Would somebody please read for me Romans chapter 12 and verse 3? Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Sorry? Karen, thank you very much. You want to come out? Thank you very much. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3.
For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you.
Thank you very much indeed. So, that's clear, isn't it? Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Loving yourself means you have a sober and a right view of yourself. And the older you get, the more that should become clear. And part of living and life experience is that we learn about ourselves, that we learn to judge ourselves rightly, that we learn to think sensibly about ourselves. We are realistic about how God has made us and what He is and what He's prepared for us and how we are therefore to live. That we're not those who simply try and be somebody that we're not, or imagine that we are somebody that we're not. So if you're inclined to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, please, loving yourself means think soberly, according to the measure of faith that God has given you. So as God has given you that proportion of faith, that understanding of who you are and the ability to fulfill God's will for your life, follow it. Go with that. Don't brag about yourself too highly. Love is not boastful. I said it's similar to the next one. My version says, the Holman which I read, love is not conceited. Well, isn't that the same thing? You may say, well, in English, I think it probably is. But the good old King James puts it like this. Love is not puffed up. You think, well, what on earth is that talking about? I think it's a tremendous description, because actually the word in the Greek is literally inflating. It's to do with growth by pumping air, or by germinating, or by expansion. It means to blow or to swell up or to spring up. So if I can put it like this, if love isn't boastful, as we've looked at, if that is bragging about what you've got, puffing yourself up is boasting about what you have not got and trying hard to produce something that isn't there. And the church at large is riddled with Christians who are desperately trying to produce something of themselves. Friends, the marvellous good news is that it's the Holy Spirit who gives life. We don't have to work up anything. You don't have to work up holiness or righteousness. You don't have to work up a good time of worship. Either the Holy Spirit is there leading us and causing it to spring forth, or He's not. And if it's not, we're deluding ourselves if we think something is there which isn't. Love is not puffed up. How are you viewing yourself? Are you viewing that maybe there's something about you and you're desperately trying to sort of to produce something? Friend, give up. When the Lord came to His disciples on the day of resurrection, it says He breathed into them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And that word for breathing in is exactly the same word that you get for puffed up here. He's saying, look, I'm making you the church. I'm making you the people of God. I'm making you my disciples. I'm giving you the Spirit of life. Love is not conceited. Love does not try and produce something that isn't there. And lastly, love does not act improperly. Could give lots of examples of this. Friends, we must... Look, what I'm saying is this. God has created us. Our bodies are a gift from God. We are created in His image to glorify Him in and with our bodies. So therefore, loving ourselves means that we do not act unbecomingly. When we're on our own and we behave in ways that are displeasing, harmful to our bodies, friends, It's not loving ourselves. Love does not act improperly. Well, I'm going to leave it at that. I think it's enough for us to be thinking about. I'm going to finish with asking the question, how can we love ourselves? And I suppose I'm going to link this in, really, because with the fact that God, who is love, dwells in every one of you by his Holy Spirit, if you are his. So how am I to love myself? Naturally, I can't. I can't sometimes be kind to myself. If I lose my glasses for the umpteenth time, I get very, very frustrated. How am I to handle that? No lectures, please. No advice. I'm just using that as an example. Friends, God, who is love, I need to understand how God has made me and think how God has loved me, how God does love me. Friends, he is kind towards every one of us. Therefore, can you not be kind to yourself? I suppose what I'm saying is, take God's perspective on who you are. If you're the sort of person who is actually not happy with how God has made you, go to God and say, Lord, please show me how I can receive your appreciation of how I've been made. If you're the sort of person who actually says, I'm really cheesed off because I'd rather be blah, 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 or like X, Y, and Z, and actually, God, I've been made like A, B, and C, say, now, Lord, why have you made me like A, B, and C? Receive his perspective. Receive his love for you. And accept that. And take his side against yourself. I am no psychologist, but I have a sneaking suspicion that a lot of our problems would disappear, or at least would assume a perspective, if we didn't hate ourselves. If we actually saw ourselves as God saw us. And if we sided with him and began to see how God views us and began to think rightly and soberly about these things, and so that we would then, in a right way, nourish ourselves, nourish our abilities, nourish the good things that God has given, and reject the bad things. If we would feed on the Lord himself and allow him to change us from the inside, so that the character of God, who is love, would really start to emerge from us. You shall love your neighbour as you love yourself. How much do we love ourselves is the question I'm asking myself anyway. Shall we pray, please? Father, we want to thank you for the privilege that we have of glorifying you in the bodies that you've given to us. We thank you that you've made every one of us absolutely unique. We want to thank you that from youngest to oldest, you have such good purposes and such good plans for us. And Lord, where we are not being kind to ourselves, where we are not being patient, where these various qualities that we've looked at need to be taken on board, we pray that you will help us to do that, so that we may glorify you and magnify you in everything that we are and in all that we do. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.